All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 19. Genesis 19. This morning, I'm convinced that the Lord has given me a message to bring to this congregation. It's a message that we all need to hear. This is a message of life and death. It's a message being His Word. And I know this, according to His Word, it's not going to return unto Him void. I know that His Word is going to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. I'd like to deal with verses 12 to 14. Now, the Lord has sent two angels into the city of Sodom. And they've been charged to do two things. They've been charged, number one, to destroy the city because of the wickedness that was found within the city. And secondly, they're there to rescue a vessel of God's mercy, along with some of his family. And both of these acts are going to be accomplished according to the will and the purpose and the faithfulness of the Lord. Now, to get a right perspective of what we're talking about this morning, the city of Sodom is a picture of this world. I told the folks, you that were here Wednesday night, Just realize this, that Sodom was a picture of this world. It was a picture of this world's corruption because of the fall of man in the garden. It's a picture of the world that's been given over to vile carnal affections, given over to that which spiritually dishonors God, that which gives the Lord no honor, glory, praise, but rather loves man. You want to know what Sodom pictures? It pictures that which honors man, flatters man. This world that loves the lies of false religion, that's spiritual Sodom. That which makes merchandise of men's souls. Now, in this picture, this scripture right here, these angels have rescued Lot. They've rescued him from an angry mob that wants to abuse God's messengers. He told Lot, he cried, surrounded his house, after those two angels got there. And they said, verse 4, before they laid down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. They called unto Lot, and they said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Lot went out, shut the door behind him, said in verse 7, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Again, remember what this picture is. Sodom is a picture of this world and its vile, evil affections. For man, not God, man. And here, they said, you send these guys out that we can know them. That's wickedness. Lot goes out. He said, I have two daughters. Here's a glorious picture of that which is pure. They've not known man. They're pure. He said, I have two daughters. It's a picture of this glorious proclamation of the gospel, presenting before men the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Lot says, I have two daughters. Would you have them bring me out? No, we don't want that. Whenever God Almighty has set forth the glory of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, man by nature has no desire for him. There was no beauty in him that we should behold him. No. We'll take that which is disrespectful to God. That's what man by nature wants. That's Sodom. Well, these angels rescue. They pull Lot in and they've rescued him. They shut the door and they smote those men of Sodom with blindness. Couldn't they wearied themselves trying to find the door. But the mercy of God set forth. Listen to this, verse 12 and 13. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters? Whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Now, consider the mercy of God that we just read right here. Here's the mercy of God. Those angels told Lot what God was going to do. Told him. Listen to Psalm 28, verse 1. David, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, O Jehovah, my rock, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Listen to me. I've entitled this message, This Is No Joke. This is no joke. I got it from this next verse we're going to look at. But what mercy that God would send His word to a man named Lot. Those angels spoke to Lot and told him what God was going to do. Now Lot being born into this world, he was a man just like all men born in this world. He was a man that had a heart that was wrathful against God by nature, but God was pleased to rescue Lot. God was pleased to draw him out of the bondage of sin. This man was referred to in the scriptures as just. Just Lot. Justified Lot. He was justified before God. And he was a man that after the Lord saved him, he still struggled. He's like all of them. He stumbled and he doubted and sin that dwelled in his flesh. How did he get in Sodom? Oh, there was a squabble over some cows and they some grass and the herdman was and there was strife and division. And Abraham, oh, what graciousness. Everything was promised of God. Who did God promise it to? Abraham. Lot was the recipient. He was the recipient of God's mercy to Abraham. And here was Lot and that squabble and everything. It was, Abraham told him, he said, you take what you want. I'll take the other. Lot set his face towards Sodom. And now he's in that city, vexed every day. Vexed. I wonder what those cows were worth to him now. I wonder what that grass meant now. And oh, here he is, just, you know, vexed. And God sends two angels and tells him, this is what we're going to do. He told him. You know, there was a man regenerated by the grace of God. A man that was justified by the blood, righteousness of Christ. And these two angels said, hast thou any besides you? Is there any besides you? Son-in-law, sons, daughters, whatever. You know, I noticed they didn't ask, are there any righteous in this city besides you? They didn't say that. Why? Because only the Lord knows who they are. Rather, they said, is there any family, any of yours, in this city? Bring them out. Why? Because God is going to deal in wrath with this place. So here's what Lot did. Verse 14. And Lot went and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Now, let me just kind of set this scenario here and tell you what actually is going on. The scripture says back in verse 4, but before they lay down, okay, you know what? It was night. This is the middle of the night. Before they lay down, they'd come in, Lot had fed them, wash your feet. Before they lay down, that's when all these guys started surrounding this place. It's night. Now, this whole incident is geared around the middle of the night. And after the angels rescue him and blind him, and he talked to Lot, and he said, now they said, here's what you said. You know, if there's any that thou hast in this, besides you, son-in-law, your son, your daughter, whoever, you go tell them. And verse 14, and Lot went. What time of the night was it? I don't know. I don't know what time it was. But I can tell you this. This man, Lot, believed God. He believed God. He worshiped God. And he was convinced that what God had said, his counsel was going to stand. And the angels related, this is what we're going to do. If you got any in this city, you go tell them. And go tell them right now. Right now. That's what he did. They told him, the Lord sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out. Found his son-in-laws. Started talking to them. Now, you know, somebody said, well, you know what? That just doesn't seem to me to be a convenient season. When is it a convenient season? What, the middle of the day, the morning or something? Man by nature is man by nature. It don't matter what time it is. Lot went right then. He was urgently compelled to go to those that he loved. Were they the Lord's? I don't know. What did the Lord tell his disciples? You go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach to them. You don't know who they are. I don't know who you are. I don't know. But I can tell you this. He left and went and did exactly what those angels told him to do. If he was ever going to be serious, get serious right now. Let's get serious about this thing. Because now is the time. When are they going to destroy it? They didn't say. But his coming, he knew that. So he told him. He went out, and here's what he said. Up. Get up. Get you out of this place. The Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked. Now that's an amazing word right there. Mocked. It's a word that means to jest. He got on there. Yeah. Get up right now. And we're getting out of this place because God is going to destroy that city. He's going to destroy this city. This is a joke, right? You're kidding me, right? Are you talking about now? Get up now? The middle of the night, right now? Yes. But he was one that seemed to them to be joking. This is a joke. You've got to be kidding me. This is a prosperous city, Lot. What kind of a city was it? Well, Luke 17 tells us exactly what they were doing. Luke 17, verse 26 to 29, it says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, and the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Now listen, let me tell you something. This is serious. Now we've been, this church has been here a long time. This earth been here a long time, and but listen, I'm gonna tell you something. This is no joke. This is I'm gonna be truthful with you. Lot was truthful with his family. He was faithful to do that which he was commanded to do. You go and you tell your family. And what happened is, by and large, his family mocked him. They mocked him. He was one that seemed to them to be jesting. You can't be serious about now. You can't be serious about this. They treated God's word with disrespect. He came, he told him, he said, "Listen, this is what these angels told me. These angels told me they're going to..." Can you imagine how silly this sounds to the natural man? God has sent a message in this book, and it's serious. And my responsibility, what responsibility do I have right now to be serious with you? Ezekiel chapter 3. I've read this, and there's so much that I don't understand about what I'm about to read. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17, 19. "Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me." Now, here's what I know. God's called me to preach. He called me to preach. And what did he tell Ezekiel to do? Same thing he's telling every preacher of the gospel to do. He said, "You give them warning. You give them warning from me." Now listen, everybody listen to what I'm saying right now. This ain't no joke. This is not a joke. We're not just showing up for church. Well, it's Sunday, we got to go to church. Let me tell you what's going on right now. This is not, and what's going overseas, over that ain't nothing. That's nothing. That's nothing. What I'm about to tell you right now is serious. Now listen to what I'm saying. You kids, listen to me. I'm telling you. I'm telling you from God's word. He said, you give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Now, I just tell you right now, there's some things I don't understand about that. But I don't want the responsibility of being negligent to warn people. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Now listen to me. I've got a responsibility this morning. I told you that Sodom is a picture of this world and its wickedness, rebellion against God. And God sent two angels to go get a man named Lot, and they told him what they were going to do. And you know what, Lord willing, we'll look at it. And they did it. It happened. It really did. And they told him, he said, you go tell everybody, those that are yours, you go tell your son-in-law, your daughters, you go tell them. Get out of here. Get out of here. Now there's five short but to the point, brief things that I want to say. 5 points. I'm not going to elaborate on them, but I'm going to just tell you 5 things that I've considered about this world, about ourselves, about God. And I'm honest with you. Somebody said, well, you're just trying to scare me. No, I'm not trying to scare anybody. But I want to be honest with us. I want to be honest with us all. Here's what I'm telling you something. Here's what, you give them warning. Now listen to what I'm saying. God is going to destroy this world. Now listen to me. God is going to destroy this world. And it's going to be in a day that we're not expecting. Now 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. The day of the Lord. What does that mean? It means in that day that the Lord's coming back. The day of the Lord, his judgment, is going to come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now listen, this is not a joke. They listened to what Lot said. They looked at him as a man that was mocking. Everything that we see is going to be destroyed, burned up. God told Noah, I'm going to destroy this earth. Build an ark. And Noah moved with fear. He moved with respect. 120 years. Noah preached. He was a preacher of righteousness. And when God said, it's enough, it's done, he put Noah in there, shut the door. And buddy, everybody outside of that ark perished. Open up the door, Noah. Hey, oh, Noah. They died. Now listen to me, this ain't no joke. God's going to destroy this earth. God told these two angels, you tell Lot, we're going to destroy this city. about a chapter later, this city was destroyed. Now listen to me. God said, I'm going to destroy this world. He's already done it twice. Said he would, and he did. You think he's not going to do it this third time? Secondly, listen to me. Everybody in this room, unless the Lord returns, and if he returns, okay, that he will return. There'll be some left. But if God doesn't return, everybody in this room is going to die. You're going to die. In the last 30 days, I've either preached or I've attended 3 funerals. In the last 30 days, I preached 2 of them and attended another one for those that I'm convinced knew God. And it was a joy to be able to behold the mercy of God to keep his own until the end. It was a joy. I think to myself, according to the word of God, to be absent from this body, for those that know him that died in the faith, absent with this body, present with the Lord. Convinced of it. Jean, Margaret, Joe Crabtree. 3 people in 30 days. Listen, this is no joke. You're going to die. You're going to die. And dying is no joke. Thirdly, if you die without Christ, without believing that he alone saved you by grace through faith in him, saved you apart from any works that you've done, you die without Christ, listen to me, you will be put in hell. God's going to put you in hell. Every person that leaves this world, that leaves without Christ as a substitute, as their mediator between them and God, they're not in a better place. They are not in a better place. Well, my mother died and she didn't believe the gospel. My dad died, my uncle died. He didn't believe this, but he was a good man. They're not in a better place. They're not in a better place. Or where are you saying they are? If they died without Christ, they're in hell. They're in hell. Well, that's just a little bit too hard. It doesn't change anything. They're still in hell. This is no joke. I'm not kidding. It's not a joke. Dying without Christ is no joke. John 3, verse 36. John 3:36. Now listen to this. God's word. The scripture says, he that believeth on the Son. What does that mean? He that believeth on the Son. It means he that believeth on the Son and doesn't believe in his own will, in his own way, in his own power, in his own choice, in his own free decision. He that believeth on the Son, apart from me, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's not a joke. That's the truth. Fourthly, we're all going to stand before God in the day of judgment. We're going to stand there. We're all sitting right here, and it's wonderful to be able to see one another, and you're sitting here, I'm standing here, and you say, well, this is, you know, we're all sitting here. We're all going to stand before God. Matthew 25, verse 31-32. The scripture declares, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And everything is going to be exposed. Everything is going to be opened up. The scripture says in Revelation chapter 20, Revelation 20 verse 11 to 15. Now listen, this is what's going to happen. This is what those angels told him. Said, go tell your family. Go tell them, get out of here. We're going to destroy the city. We're going to destroy it. Get out. Get out. Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. That, as I told you before, no place to hide. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Those that died without Christ, the dead. No life, dead. Now listen to me. Without knowing Christ, you're dead. You're dead. And you leave this world spiritually dead. Everything that we've ever thought, said, did, whatever, all of it is recorded. You say, well, I don't see how it can be. That's irrelevant. What do you mean you don't understand? That God said the books are going to be open. And what is going to be happening is God's going to judge all those without Christ according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which was in it. The dead and hell, death and hell delivered up those that were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. Now listen. If there's one infraction, in our lives that we're going to have to answer to God for, if there's one infraction before His face and His eyes, God's going to put me in hell if there's one. Now, if you happen to have one, just one, I'm telling you, God's going to judge you. But the scripture says, but whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But for those found written in the book of life, book of Christ, to those the scriptures declare that God's going to say unto them, enter in, enter in. To that which was prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Listen, we're all going to stand before God. And we're either going to answer for ourselves and have no hope, or Christ shall have already answered for us. In all that He is, in His holiness, righteousness imputed to us, God will accept us for His sake. Now I'm telling you, that's it. And lastly, the message that we preach, the message of the gospel, of God's free and sovereign grace. Now, this is no joke. I know that, again, I realize that there's assemblies all over the place, and I'm telling you, I realize that you know, that people are sincere, and I know they say they love everybody, but listen to me. There's only two messages being preached. There's either the message of God's free grace in Christ. It's a message that gives man no honor, no glory, no praise. It's the message that makes man to be totally the recipient of God's grace. It's the message that gives man no works to do in order to be saved, because not by works of righteousness that we've done. Or there's the other message, and it's under whatever title you want to put it. You can call it whatever denomination you want. Either it's a message that says you got to, you know, walk down an aisle, you got to pray through, you got to be baptized, you got to speak in tongues, you got to be a member of this particular church, you've got to, you know, you got to be able to trace your lineage all the way back to the apostles. You call it what you want to call it. But it's a message of works that man has to accomplish. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's only two messages. It's either grace, the grace of God, or it's the works of man in order to be saved. And I'm telling you right now, the gospel of God's free grace, apart from any works on man's part, that message right here, the message is being preached right here, that message is the power of God and salvation. I'm telling you. And the scripture declares that we're to be warned. I want to warn you. I want to warn you right now. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, every preacher. I'll just simplify it for you. But try the spirits. Try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. And how do I know the difference? Okay, here's the way. If your salvation is predicated upon anything that you must do first in order to be saved, it's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. You mean every one of them? I mean every one of them. If it's something that you must do to be saved, I'm going to warn you. I'm going to warn you right now. It's a lie. Failing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as He is set forth in this gospel is damnation. It's not, this is not a joke. Go to the church of your choice. You better hope God delivers you from that. If He hadn't given you a heart to sit under the truth. Listen to this. I'm closing right here. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine, the truth of Christ. Continue in them, for in so doing, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. This is not a joke. They came, Lot came to him and he said, listen, God's going to destroy this place. Get out of here. Get out of here. I'm telling you right now. I have set forth the truth to you. I've set forth the truth. God has commanded me. You tell them. You tell them. I want to be truthful with you. Why will you die? Why will you die? And I know that unless the Lord gives a new heart, you know, I know that what you hear, I do the same thing, but for the grace of God, it's like a joke. You're joking, right? I'm telling you, this is not a joke. I pray God have mercy. I pray God bless His word to the heart of needy sinners. God have mercy on me. I pray God have mercy on you. Amen.